All right, Perek Vav, starting on Daf Yud. In the secular pages, it's page 19. Now, up until now, we've been discussing the internal qualities of the godly soul, the Nefesh HaLiki. Now, we're going to begin, for the next several prokim, deciphering the qualities, the makeup of the Nefesh HaBahami, the animal soul. So, let's see it inside. Perek Vav. Everything the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made in this world, he made in a perfect balance so that we can have free choice. Just like the godly soul, as we discussed last week, is comprised of 10 qualities named the Esos Sfiros, Kedushos, and they are of holy quality. As we discussed last week, they are all expressed themselves from the godly soul, exclusively in the service of Hashem. And therefore, umislabeshes b'shleisha levushim kedoshim, due to the fact that those 10 qualities can only be in the realm of Kedusha, so when they express themselves in human expression, as we spoke about last week, of thought, of speech, and of action, those all must be exclusively godly thought, speech, and action. However, that's not going to be the case with the animal soul. Kach hanefesh, the sitra achra, so too the soul that comes from the other side. Miklipas noiga, and he's going to explain in a moment what this term means, klipas noiga. But the klipas noiga is the one redeemable form of klipa, meaning that it has enough kedusha in it that we can utilize it for good, or chas v'shalom for the opposite. Hamuluveshes bidama adam. So this other soul that we discussed very early on is contained, its dwelling place is in the blood of the person. It too is kelula me'esekis in the misavusa. It also is made up of 10 qualities. Just those 10 qualities are, he uses here a Zoya language, which are made up of the 10 crowns of filth. Pretty. Shehen, what are they? Shehen sheven midas rois. They are 7 emotional qualities that are evil. Habois mi arba yisoidis roim hanal, that stem from the 4 qualities, but even though those 4 qualities, when we mentioned them earlier, esh, mayim, ruach, and ofer, fire, water, air and earth, we discussed them and how to use them positively. Here, those same 4 qualities are going to be used and cause a person to act negatively. Now, interestingly, when we were discussing last week the powers of Kedusha, he began with the 3 intellectual qualities and then spoke about that those 3 intellectual qualities are the cause of the 7 emotional reactions. Here he goes exactly the opposite way. First he discusses the emotions, and then he goes into the intellect. And this, the Svarim point out, is a classic representation of how it works. When we're dealing with holiness, it begins by a person recognizing what's right and what's correct and how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it filters down to one's actions, to one's emotions. But when it comes to the opposite, when it comes to the dark side, it begins in the emotions, and then the emotions convince the mind to act in an immoral way. So that's why the Baal Tanya, when he discusses this, begins first, when he's dealing with the dark side, he begins first with the emotions, and then goes, now, v'seichel hamelidan. And it also goes to the mind that gives birth to these 7 qualities. Hanechlek v'shlolesh. Here too, it's going to be divided into 3 intellectual qualities. Shehen, chachma, bina, v'das. They are, again, going back to the spark of chachma, then there's understanding, then there's connection. Mikor ha-midos, which are always the root, the source of the midos. Because, as always, and he introduces us here to a very fundamental distinction. Ki ha-midos hen lefi erech ha-seichel. All midos are going to be always consistent with the level of one's intellect. I'll prove it to you. Ki akoton, because a child, choshek v'oyev dvarim ketanim. A child loves lollipops. He loves grasshoppers. Pechusei ha'erech, things that are of very little value. Lefisha sich like koten v'kotzer, because his mind is too small and too narrow. Lahasig dvarim yikarim yosemem. The kid doesn't understand iPads yet. Therefore, he likes lollipops and bubblegum. Now, due to the fact that his intellect is not fully developed to be able to appreciate the better things in life, v'chein miskayes umiskatzev, you'll find that a child will lose his temper and will have fits of anger midvarim ketanim, from the smallest things. That's why you always have the scene in the shopping centers with children who throw fits regarding the smallest things of virtually no value at all. V'chein b'isparus, so too with pride, you'll find a katan is going to show off with the seemingly most ridiculous qualities, v'shar midos, and the rest of the midos. So what he's trying to prove here is that one's character, one's emotions, are going to follow the level that their seichel can encompass. I've shared with you many times the story that they say over about Rav Steinman, that a fellow, one of the Chicago Gevirim, went to Rav Steinman because his wife told him that he could not buy himself a Lexus until they got permission from Rav Steinman. She was afraid of an ayin hara. So they traveled to Bnei Brak. They came into Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman's house, as you can well imagine, is a very luxurious apartment. I mean, the place is as bare can be. And they come in and they sit down and lay out their case. And Rav Steinman listens to this and he says to the guy, "Tell me, do you have any Seder in Shas? The Shas is segregated into six sections. Do you have any Seder that you're very proficient in?" And the other shook his head and said, "No." He said, "What about any Masechta? Like, is there one tractate that you really know well?" He shook his head and said, "No." He said, "What about a chapter, like one perek, at least?" He said, "Not really." So he said to me, "You know, you could really go buy the Lexus. Anybody who's jealous of you is as pathetic as you are." The point is that is ketanim. That's people who get all wrapped up about total narishkeit. People who get angry about things that are totally worthless because their level of seichel is at that level, and as a result, their character, their emotions follow that as well. Three lines from the bottom of Daf Yud. I'm sorry, two lines from the bottom. V'chein v'isparus v'shar midas v'eser b'chinas elu hatmeis. Oh, so now that we've said that the animal soul also has 10 forms of character, 3 intellectual ones and 7 emotional, is v'eser b'chinas elu hatmeis. These 10 impure forms of divisions of character that stem from the animal soul is kisha adam mechashev bahen, when a person contemplates using them. Oy, so that's thought. Oy medaber, or he speaks. Oy oisa, or he acts. So now he's talking about where he's not using the godly soul. He's using the koiches of his physical soul. We just turn the page to page 20. Is harei mechshavtei shebemoichoi v'diburoi shebefiv. So at that moment, the thoughts that are in his head, or the speech that are in his lips, v'koyach hamaisi shebiyodav, or the action that he is acting with at that moment, v'sharei varav. So now what's happening? Remember last week when we were talking about a person who's expressing himself using his godly soul, he was totally wrapped and enveloped in a godly light because he was connecting at that moment with his godly soul to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, here is Nebuch, the person is totally at that moment wrapped up in impure thought or in a form of negative speech or a form of forbidden action. So at that moment, everything becomes wrapped and embodied and enclosed in levushe misoavu, in filthy clothes, le'esib chines elu hatmeis, to these 10 qualities, which are on the flip side, they're on the dark side. Shemislab shoiz bohen b'shas maisa, because at that moment, what kind of clothing is this person putting himself into? Meaning at any given moment, we have the ability to dress ourselves in Kedusha, utilizing the godly soul, or we can dress ourselves using one of the three methods of dress in clothing of impurity. That's our option. So when a person is doing that, at that moment the person is enclosed and embodied in the clothing of the dark side. But now he goes on to say something which is totally unexpected. V'hein heim kol ha'maisim ashenasim tachas ha'shemesh. This includes everything that's taking place in the world. He's using a pasuk from Koheles. Asher ha'koel hevel v'roes ruach, which is totally and completely narishkeit and stupidity. Right to the left in that room, you'll see chairs, Walter. Ukameshiksi b'zoya b'shalach. Shen teviru derucha. The Zoya speaks there about the fact that this is a broken form of spirit. V'chein kol adiburim, the same applies to all speech, v'chol ha'machshoves, and all thought, ha'shalei l'shamem, meaning this isn't specific to action. This applies to any moment where there is speech, where there is thought, where there is action. Look what he says. Ha'shalei l'shamem. If they are not actively for the purpose of God, then they belong to the dark side. Or if they're not towards Hashem's will, or as a preparation for Hashem's avoda, so he says, I'll prove it to you. Shezeu loshen sitra achra. We use this term so loosely. The sitra achra, he says, what does that mean? Sitra achra. Pirish, he says, I'll tell you what it means. Tzad acher. It means the other side. Anything she'enoi tzad akdusha. If it isn't holy, it's the other side. It's the other side of Kedusha. So who says it can't be parav? So he says, v'tzad akdusha, because it's very simple. The side of holiness, enoi elo hashra v'hamshacha. The side of holiness can only exist in a place where there dwells and we draw migdusha soy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only time you have anything which is holy is when there exists the dwelling of Hashem. V'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu shayra el aldav shabbat letz leizbarach. And Hashem is only going to dwell in a place where whatever it is that's there is totally nullifying itself to him. Either in full action, kimalochim al yainim, like the heavenly angels, bein bikoyach, or in potential, very powerful words, kechol ish yisrael lamata, like any Jew here in this world, she bikoychai, each of us has the potential. Liya is batal mamish legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen. B'mesiris nafshe HaKadoshas Hashem. Any one of us has the potential to totally give our lives up for Kiddushem Shemaim. Therefore, we are all potential places of Ashras HaShechina. Because we have the power, the ability to be Maisa Nefesh.
So klipas noga are either klipas shel tzad kedusha or shel tzad sitra achra, depending on how they're used.
Precise. Well, the only klipas noga, he's going to get to that at the end. That's true only of klipas noga. Now, olachenu b'chazal, and soon we're going to see some other talmidei Baal Shem how they explain the concept that he just mentioned. For this reason, our sages tell us, if you have a Jew who's sitting and he's studying Torah, the Shechina dwells upon him. Why? Because at that moment, he is belonging to the Tzad HaGdusha, he's nullifying himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Shechina dwells there. What's more, V'chol be'asara shchint d'shari lo'elam. And if you got 10 Jews together, even if they're not learning Torah, the Shekhinah dwells there. However, aval kol ma she'enoi botel etzle yizbarach. Here's the definition of Sitra Achra. Anything which does not nullify itself to Hashem, elu davar nifred b'fnei atzmei, but maintains its own separate identity, at that moment, it is not receiving its sustenance, its energy, from the Kedusha of Hashem, mibchines pnimius hakedusha, from Hashem's internal desired giving of holiness, umuhusa v'atzmusa, from its essence, b'chvoido b'atzma, meaning a direct special delivery straight from Hashem. When a person nullifies himself to Hashem, when we're wrapped up in the three levushim of Kedusha, Hashem serves us his energy on a golden platter. He says, here, with two hands, I'm serving you, I'm sustaining you, you're alive because I want you to be alive, you're here because I want you to serve me. It is a face-to-face, like the Pasuk says by Matan Torah, Ponim b'ponim dibur Hashem. Hashem spoke to us face to face. Because at that moment we were perfectly aligned, perfectly in tuned, and doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that happens every time we are involved in the service of Hashem. There is a face to face, open, desired relationship. However, when it's the opposite, then it's not coming from Pnimius Hakdusha Mehusa V'Atzmusa B'Chvoyde V'Atzma. Where are we getting it from? Meaning, what is sustaining the powers of evil? How are we living, God forbid, when we are violating Hashem's will? Nothing in the world can exist without Hashem's sustenance. So who's sustaining it? Ela Mibchines Achurayim. You know how we live at that moment? We live from that which is cast over the shoulder. Sheyardim imadrega limadrega. This is a form of energy that is lowered. It descends from level to level. Rivavais madregas, tens of thousands of levels. Bishdalshlis halamas, through the chains of all the worlds. What's more, derech ilav olol, it goes through a process of cause and effect, v'tzimtzumim rabim, and numerous constrictions, ad shenismayet kol kachor, you know how little godly energy there is in an avera, v'achiyas miyot achamiyot, you know how little there is? I'll tell you how little there is. Ad sheyochel yistzamtzem ulislabesh b'pchines golus, toich oysa dover hanifrod. There is so little godly energy in it that a person can use it to do an avera. That's how little godly energy there is in it. There is so little until it is able to constrict itself and to be enclosed and embodied in galus. Hanifrid lach yoyseu lekaimoi, to give it its sustenance, just barely me'ayin liyesh, just enough energy to continue its existence. Only enough energy to sustain it that it doesn't disappear, to go back to the way it was before it was created, mikaydem shenivra. That's it. No more energy than that. So what he's suggesting here is, let's do the opposite. But when we're involved in a mitzvah, there's a huge amount of godly energy. There's an outpouring. It doesn't have to go through all of these tzimtzumim rabim and all of these forms of cause and effect and all these chains. There, when Hashem gives us the energy, when we're studying Torah, we're infused with godly energy in abundance. And it's direct godly energy. It doesn't go through this huge chain of convoluted things that would just allow it with a tiny spark. There's a huge amount of direct benefit. Now he introduces, based upon this, the following concept, which is very disturbing. Ulechein nikra olam hazeh, three lines from the bottom, page 20. Ulechein nikra olam hazeh umloye, therefore this world and everything contained in it is referred to as olam haklipus. Welcome to the world of the klipus. You can just hear the you know, the, what do they call it, the
MC or the
announcer. Right, the announcing going over. Welcome to the world of the Klippas. Visitrach, or in the world of the dark side. Ulechein, and for this reason, he says, and I find this very comforting, Kol Maase Olam Hazeh, this is why everything we do in this world is Koshim V'Rayim. It's hard. It's awful. Rav Wolfson says, go back and count the days that there wasn't aggravation in a person's life. You can count them on several hands. This is it, because we're living in a world where it's full of klippas. It's kashim biroim, it's difficult and it's bad. Varashom gavrim bay, and the wicked are the masters in this world. Kameshiksiv be'etz chayim shar mem be'etz seif perek dalet. He quotes here the Arizal. That's why this world is a place of great concealment. Now, in the footnote here, which he always does, just in case you think you're understanding anything, he throws in a Kabbalistic footnote, which says that despite all the concealment, we should understand that the world is still suffused with tremendous godly energy. Okay? Now he goes back to what you were talking about before. Ella. She'aklipos henechlokos l'shtei madregas. Even in the realm of the klippas, they are divided into two levels. Zu l'mata mizu, one beneath the other. Hamadrega tachtoina, the least, the lowest of these levels. Hisholesh klippas hatameis v'royis ligamri. There are three levels of klippa, which are different in nature, but one thing they have in common, and that is that they are totally evil. Unredeemable. Ve'ein ben toiv klal. There's nothing good about them. V'nikru b'markeves yecheskel. And what's interesting is, where do we find out about these three purely evil klippas? In the highest vision of Yecheskel. Right? So you would think that they would like be noted somewhere, like in some back street. No. They're come from an awesomely exalted place. Nonetheless, you can't redeem them. And they're referred to, and notice they're so evil that the Baltanya doesn't even want to mention them all by name. He only mentions one of the four. Ruach Sa'ara, two of the four. Ruach Sa'ara v'anan gadol, and the pasuk goes on and refers to the other ones by name. These are unredeemable. These are unredeemable forces, forms of klipa. From these stem all of the souls of the idolaters. They've got nothing redeemable about them. And not only their souls, but v'kiyam gufam. And even after their souls depart from their bodies, and their bodies remain in the world, their bodies are sustained by this force of pure klipa. What's more, that's noticed medabra. That's the highest level of existence, the speaking being. Next step down, v'nafshes kol balechayim atmeim v'asurim v'achila, and from here come the lives, the souls of all forbidden animals that are forbidden to eat. V'kiyam gufam, and the sustenance of their bodies, the bodies of the animals. And v'kiyam v'chiyos kol macholis asurais, so too, from these absolute form of klipa come the sustenance and the life of all forbidden growing things. Notice they don't have souls. Sorry guys, for those of you who talk to your plants do not have souls. K'may arlo v'klaya kerem, like the forbidden food that grows in the first 3 years, or fruits and vegetables that are forbidden to be eaten because they're planted together. So too must we understand that the three klippas sustain all of the ma'aseh dibra machshava, all action, speech, and thought of all of the 365 thou shalt not, which is brought there in Eitz Chaim. Now there's a very interesting B'nai Yisrael, we might get to it. regarding what happens when Hashem does want to elevate something which it comes from these absolute three klipas. What he does is he makes it fall into a pot of kosher food that has 60 times that amount, so it's batel. And he says there that dafka, you're supposed to eat it, because there are times when even that stuff needs to be elevated. Anyway, but that's aside. Now, what's fascinating to me, going back to earlier in the parak, he described the painful fact that there ain't no such thing as pariv in the realm of the service of Hashem. It's either a mitzvah or it's an aver. So let me show you where the source of this is. Let's first do the Degelmach Nefraim, and then we'll go to the Moronai. Degelmach Nefraim was authored by Reb Moshe Chaim Ephraim from the city of Sadilkov. He was the son of the daughter of the Baal Shem HaKodesh, and a good portion of the Sefer is that which he quotes from his grandfather. And this is a piece in Parshas Kedoshim. For those of you who were on the phone, if you go to Yitzchak Fox's domestic.blogspot.com, I put up on the webpage, and Mitzvah, I will continue to do this every Wednesday, the pages that we will be quoting here.
I didn't know what's what next.
Degelmach Nefraim.
Doesn't say it on here.
There you go.
I mean on the website.
What do you mean?
It just says download. No titles.
Oh, too bad. Okay. So the pasuk says, I'll change that in the future. Don't turn toward the alilim. This refers to idols. Vidosh Chazal says the Gemara in Shabbos, al tifnu el midatchem. Don't make up gods. Yesh lahavin zeh, we can understand this. Al pi sha'omar adoni ovi zikeni zechorina lachaya elam haba. Based upon that which my grandfather, referring to the Baal Shem HaKadosh, taught, Al Pasuk, the Pasuk that we say every day several times, Visartem, and you will stray, Viavadetem, and you will serve, this is a mistake, Elohim Acherim, other gods. Pirish said the Baal Shem HaKadosh, Visartem, the moment you stray, take it. Kishesora Oda Midveikus Machshavte Ba'Hashem Yisboruch, the moment a person strays from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'avadetem Elohim Acherim, immediately we are in the realm of other gods. Azai oyved Elohim Acherim yechoshev chalila. The person is, heaven forbid, considered an idolater. Hagam, says the Degel, who's a very practical guy, shedvarav tzorech lifnai lifnim, this requires great elaboration. Mikol Mokim, nonetheless, Lefi Kot Sichli, according to the shortness of my mind, if I be kids, I want to try explaining a little bit what he's talking about. Let's bring this down to a level where we can relate to this. Guys, there's drinks here, please make yourself at home. Ki ha'adam ha'eved Hashem. Because a person who serves Hashem b'chol derachav, in all of his ways, u'mikayim b'chol derachachad de'eyu. What does it mean to serve Hashem in all of one's ways? It means that the person, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, no less, quoting the Pasuk in Mishlei, in all of your ways shall you know him. What does that mean? Amen. Sha'isa ha'koil b'das. It means that a person does everything with consciousness. K'may achila, like eating. Ushtia, and drinking. Vishina, and sleeping. Udiburav ima oilam. And when he speaks to people, kidei the karavon. He's doing it to draw them close. It's not just, as we say in Yiddish, a bigeret. But he does them to create a relationship. Look at this. Or, he talks to people because it helps him in his melancholy. If I talk to people, it lifts my spirits. That's okay. Or I talk to people because it's how I make a living. To give me sustenance. Or I talk to people so that they won't get in my way to serve Hashem. The imo oisez ois bedas, if that enters the person's mind while he's doing that, azay akol nasa avedas hakodesh, then everything the person does, his eating, his drinking, his sleeping, his talking, his business deals, everything becomes part of his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Shaltu is not that he speaks with people in business. That
yeah.
And the business is...
Go better both ways. Day. Yeah, you go better both ways. You can sense both ways. He says, I said already in Parshas Bereishis, the Degel says, he explained back there, there's a concept you find throughout Shas, that there were people who used to eat, we know that Truma has to be eaten in holiness. There were people who ate even Chulin, even if they were not eating Truma, even the Chulin, they ate in purity. So he says, that's Pshat, in Chulin, Shanaf Sotar Sakadish, even that which is not mitzvah, the person does it with purity. And this is what Chazal referred to in the Gemara in Sukkah. And their leaves do not wither, says the Gemara. Even the common talk of Torah scholars should be studied. Because a real Talmud Chacham is a person who even in their everyday common interactions is all for the service of Hashem. He says, chutz l'zeh, that's in addition to the fact, if you listen to real Talmid HaChachamim talk, you hear awesome wisdom. He says, but aside from that, just by watching this aspect of their service, meaning the fact that everything they do is for the service of Hashem. However, but if a person acts in his actions without das, vehaskel, or without seichel, as a nimshel kebehemis nidma, then the person is like his friendly Bessie the cow. Bessie eats, and he eats, and it's all the same thing. Right. Avdvar dvarim tovim shoyisem divri shtus. Even the good things the person does will end up being stupidity, uli ivelis ichoshev, and it'll be considered krum. That's the Degel. So the Degel says this yisayid that the Baal Tanya says, meaning that it's either a mitzvah or it's avera. Now look at how the Maranaim teaches the exact same concept. Again, I love when you see the different Talmid of Hashem teach the same concept from a different perspective. Let's go to Daf Shin Mem Zayin. This is in Parshas Re'eh. Start in the left-hand column. And if we're starting in the middle of the piece. Kenoida. As we know, Shemechet Adam Arishain, from the sin of original man, Nase His Arvus Toivira. What Adam caused was a mixture of good and evil. Shebechal Advarim Shuraya Be'inav. Unbelievable way he describes this here. That no matter how a person looks, Yuchel Liris Hoitav Atoiv Oyarash Yashav. He says, you know what a mixture of good and evil means? That no matter where we look, we can either see the good or the evil. And it's so perfect because this is so dependent upon the person. Two people will be looking at the exact same thing and see two totally different things. And he explains, because we too are mixed up of good and evil. As we just learned in Tanya, we have a nefesh of the ki, we have a nefesh of ba'ami. We're mixed up. Right? This is the good inclination, the evil inclination that each of us have. So he's got a great imagery here. The evil in me is drawn to the evil that Adam Arishan mixed now, because the whole world is now mixed up of good and evil. Everything's got good and evil. So the bad in me is going to see the bad in everything that I'm looking at. The good in me is going to be drawn to the good that exists in all things. Everything I look at in this world is going to have a good component and a bad component. And depending on my being at that moment, he says, V'chol echad l'fi mashu, and each one of us according to who we are. Im higbir bikir boy, if within the person he has created a system where the mightier one is chelek hatoiv, is my good, then call alara over the evil that's within me. V'nichlal smal b'yamin, and my right overrides the left. Excuse me, meaning shenichbash eved, the slave within me, shua yetzahara, is now tachas rabbi, is now beneath the master, meaning the yetzer toiv, is if at that moment that I'm in a good space, meaning my yetzer toiv is now master over my evil, the result of that is going to be kach v'davar husharaya, when I look at something, in a roya rakatoiv shabay, I'm going to see the good. You know what's scary, guys? Is it works this way when we look at people, not just when we look at things. If we're in a good place, we look at other people, we see their good. And if we're in a bad place, we look at other people, we see their stinkiness. Therefore, so when we're looking at matter, if I'm in a good place, then I'm going to take what I see and I'm going to uplift it and return it to its source. Earlier he was saying that that's the madrega of the letter Aleph, that which is closest to the master of the world. He's the alufa shaloid, oilom. Come, ulehepich, however, nebuch fakert. Chas v'shalom, heaven forbid. Kishuhu odom, next page, dafshin mem ches. Shetzle, his gabrus hara, ala toiv chas v'shalom. We're in that case where if the, God forbid, the person is, his evil is, got the upper hand over the good, azai, under those circumstances, kisharaya shum dava, when he looks at things, enaraya kimara, all he's going to see is the bad, asher sham bedavarahu. You get a glimpse of certain societies and certain categories of people who, no matter what they look at, they find fault. It's because, forget it. Umach lechas v'shalom atoiv, and as a result, the person, Nebuch, takes even the good, shu yamin b'al smile, and he puts it under the left, chas v'shalom. This is why chassidish clothing all go right over left.
Except the pants.
We'll talk about that. Umafsika v'arin tzayf baruch hu, and it divides him from the arin tzayf. You're right. Shehetzel v'tzimtzem es atzmaim ois al ois, as we said earlier, the Rebbeinu Shalaylam, exact same lashon that we just had in Tanya. The Rebbeinu Shalaylam took his energy and he constricted himself from letter to letter, me oilam el oilam, from world to world, me madrega al madrega, tzoifa madregas, from level to level until the lowest of levels, till it arrives in the physical. V'nikra, when a person separates HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the world that he created, v'nikra nargin mafrid aluf, this is based on a pasuk, he is a person who is a tool that separates the aleph of the world, mafrid aluf ha-shalayla mishchinte, this is a person who separates the aleph of the world from Mishchina. And if you look at the brilliant footnote on the side, it says there that you should look in Tanya and you'll see that this is how the Baal Tanya explains the concept that we say before we do mitzvahs, L'shem Yichud Kudsha B'richu Shchinte, because what's happening is like this. When the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created physical matters, he just described, so that's on the lowest of levels. If we take it and we connect it back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we reconnect the manifestation of the Shechina that exists in the lowest of levels, and we return it back to the highest of levels. We'll get to that when we get it in Tanya. Let me just finish the paragraph because these guys got to go to Meir. Hashaychem seichem adrega shib chidus tov, that which dwells in the lowest of levels, which is the tov, v'nikra avid avaydazara, the person who separates that is called an idolater. K'may sha'amar ha'bal shem tov nishmoseh begins emiraimim, al-posuk v'sartem v'avadetem alihim acherim, the Baal Shem Tov taught that you will stray and serve other gods. Ki miyad shesartem, the moment a person strays, me'achar Hashem from before Hashem, lecha is b'pkir saran, chooses the evil, immediately Nebuch is v'avadetem alihim acherim, nechshal v'avidazor, it's considered idolatry. Why? V'chol zayideh she'en loy das zeh ha'omer, he doesn't have the das that he was mentioning before, the same das that the Degel Machnefrei mentioned before. Sheyede v'yamin. It is because we must know and believe kileis asar ponui minei, that there is no place void of God's presence. Shemali kol aretz kivoydai. Afilu ba'artzius ubesoif ha-madregis. Even in the physical world and in the lowest of levels, the presence of the Shechina is there. And therefore, if we're in the place where that's in our consciousness, in our mind, then we will interact with the world on the same level, and we end up connecting the Tav to the Aleph. And that's how the Moranayim explains many times the word S is to reconnect the Tav back to the Aleph. Reishis bara lekim, Es HaShemayim, and so on. So you see here that this very same concept that Hashem Tov taught, as brought by the Degel Machnefrei, and as brought in Moranayim, and Vesartem Avadtem Elohim Acherim, is that there ain't no such thing as Parv. It's either we're serving God, and we're recognizing Molei Kol Aretz Kivoydai, that everything in the world is suffused with His presence, or God forbid, it is separating the Tav from the Aleph, and as a result, we're Margin Aleph, and that is considered idolatry.
Klipas Noga is not Parv.